This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Today we have a special guest with us, Jack and Michelle Bosch. How are you guys today?
We are doing great.
We're doing great. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, we are looking forward to this interview today. So just a little bio on Jack and Michelle. Jack and Michelle are immigrants to the U.S. from Germany and Honduras. They came here back in 1995 and 1997, respectively, with nothing but two suitcases to their names and a heart full of dreams. They got their MBAs and worked for Fortune 500 companies. Jack in the software space and Michelle in finance. They had no flexibility, no fulfillment, and no freedom. Their paychecks did not match their time and effort. So they started looking for a side hustle until they got their green cards. After a lot of research, they came across the land flipping and loved it. Land provided simple to flip and came without all communications of flipping houses. There were no land flipping methods in existing at the time, and they had to learn everything by themselves through trial and error. However, the moment they got our green cards, they left their corporate jobs and went all in one with one singular activity, land flipping. Today, they run one, if not the largest land flipping business and training programs in the country. They are invested in land, houses, and multifamily properties. They are sought after for speaking events, investment opportunities, and masterminds. Jack and Michelle work together, love to travel, and spend time with their beautiful daughter. We have a lot of respect for this couple. Thank you so much again for being here with us today. And please welcome Michelle and Jack Bosch.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that warm welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
So if you might mind just maybe telling us a little bit more about your guys' background, you know, how you got into the land flipping and just more details. And
Absolutely.
We would love to hear more about your story.
Absolutely. Sure. So I'm originally from Honduras, Central America. I came here to the U.S. in 1995, just like you read, with a couple suitcases to my name and nothing else. I got, you know, my undergrad degree, then got an MBA, got a job, because that's pretty much what, you know, success looks like. That's what we're told, you know, that success looks like. And we got corporate jobs. Jack the same. He was coming from Germany. Yeah. And what we found, you know, once we were in those jobs, Jack was 100% travel. I was, you know, having crazy hours, as well, in terms of month end because of finance and being, you know, having to close books for our company by the end of the month and so on and so forth. And, we didn't see each other very often. We hated it. We couldn't travel to our countries of origin, but we were trapped because our, you know, our ability to stay in this country, really depended on those companies that were sponsoring, you know, our green cards and our working visas. So we had to start looking for something that we could do, you know, after we came back from work, and that really for us, fulfilled, you know, one of our main goals, which was to create not just cash profits to replace our current incomes by the time, you know, our green cards would be in, but that also would allow us to create some passive income, so that we could travel the world and do all the things that, you know, we had envisioned when we were starting our careers that we would have, but we didn't have. Instead, you know, we were earning a good salary, but we were living paycheck to paycheck. We had, you know, we had payments on our car, payments on our bed, payments on our couch, payments on everything.
Literally, I mean, well, part of that was also to build up some credit, because when you come in from another country, you have like no credit.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, it's worse than having bad credit. Bad credit, if somebody gives you a loan with no credit, nobody wants to be the first one to give you a loan. So we build up that stuff, but then we like look at each other and it's like, this is not the American dream. This is not what we signed up for. Like, yeah, we own the house. We bought a house. We have, again, cars and things like that and nothing fancy, but we're like up to here in debt. And that's what everyone around us was doing. And we started questioning that logic. And so, and that was the start. That's when we started looking around. And then we through multiple different real estate ventures that we could not make work.
including house flipping, because of all the complications. I think it's important for us to say here is that because we were not born and raised here, we didn't know anything about how to estimate repairs. Construction is so much different in Germany than it was in Honduras. Like all of this basically bag of crap that, you know, that houses come with, not to say anything bad on houses. Now we own single family, you know, a nice portfolio of single family homes. But when we were starting out, those were additional things that we didn't, that we didn't understand. So for us, it was a natural transition as a beginning investor and as a person that didn't know anything about how building happens here in the US and in construction and so on and so forth, to just go into an asset class that didn't have any of that.
Wow, that's a great story. In your bio, you talk about going all in. And I know that for some of us, that can be uncomfortable, right? Because you had jobs and you had payments, like you said. So how did that come about? And I mean, did you both quit at the same time?
No,
we didn't. So all in, what it means is basically we stumbled into this. So basically we first decided real estate is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And as Michelle said, we looked around and we found a triplex that we wanted to buy, and we got it under contract, and we estimated everything wrong. We put it, wanted to wholesale it, and everything was completely off. Like, because again, from just like Michelle just said, from the background that we have, we didn't know how much it cost to rehab a kitchen, a bathroom, electric thing, and that triplex needed all of it.
Yeah.
Right, so we got it at a price. We marked it up by just $5,000 just to make something, and nobody bought that thing. We got like 30 people inquiring about it. We were like, okay, that's not working. Then we looked into tax liens and tax deeds, and and we were outbid at the auctions. We bought liens, and finally we stumbled into, we came up with a thought of, hey, if people don't, like around the tax delinquent side of things, if people, there's people that let their houses and their land and their stuff go and don't pay property taxes. So we're like, well,
which is something that blew our minds up, because this is not a concept that, like in Europe or in Latin America, where you're going to lose your property due to a delinquency in property taxes. That just doesn't exist. Yeah. So it was like, whoa. And people actually let them go. And after attending one of the auctions, I noticed that a lot of the parcels that were coming, or the properties that were going up for auction, were actually land.
So we decided, well, what if those people, if they don't want their properties anymore, and at the auctions, there's so much competition, what if we just send them a letter before, like weeks, months, years before the auction, and they just go delinquent? And we tried that, and we played around with that a little bit, trial and error, until we got the letter right. And then all of a sudden we got flooded with phone calls, like literally flooded, like 5-10% response rates on this. And we're like, okay, so what do we do now? So we send it. So
we used to throw the phone around. Yeah. Yeah, like again, we didn't know, like, oh my gosh, what an amazing problem to have. You know, all of a sudden we had, you know, 50 calls coming in. And what do I say to these people? I was incredibly also self-conscious. I'm like, I speak with an accent, as you can hear. And I'm like, will they want to do business with me? And so on and so forth. All these things that go through your head, you know, as you're the beginning investor.
Right.
Yeah.
But then we got it. We got the first deal for $400 and we sold it for $4,000. So again, not something fantastically big, but it was a proof of concept. We were like, we made 10x our money. And then they had the next deal for 40 acres for $500 and sold it for $10,000 somewhere in the desert. And then this deal started accelerating. And that's what I mean with going full out. At that moment, we basically said, you know what? We found it.
That's
put
great.
The blinders on. Let's just focus on this and nothing but this. And then
which is hard.
Yes.
I mean, with somebody that has an entrepreneurial bug in them, you know, that is, like, that's the core of an entrepreneur, is being curious about the problems in the marketplace and bringing solutions to the marketplace. And so you see all kinds of opportunities, and it's having that discipline that once you find a track that you understand, that you can wrap your arms around and your head around, that you focus on it until you basically master that one skill.
Absolutely.
So then with our jobs, to answer long winding thing to answer your question is at that point, we couldn't quit our jobs because we still didn't have the green card. So our immigration status was dependent on the company we worked for. So literally in my passport, in Michelle's passport, there was like the visa, and it says visa, H-1B visa with XYZ company. That company, I would have quit.
And we were
married at the point. Yeah. At that point, we had added Michelle to my visa application because Germans get green cards faster than Latin Americans. Mm. Like, not going to go into that.
Yeah. Another discussion, another podcast.
It's less Germans wanting to immigrate into the U.S. than people south of the border. Yeah. So.
Right. And the U.S. gives like a certain contingent of green cards to Europe and certain to Latin America.
Yeah.
And if there's 50 times more people in Latin America want to come to the U.S., well, it takes 50 times longer to get that green card than it takes from Germany. So we added her to our to my green card. After getting married, we added her to my green card application. So now we couldn't quit, right? Yeah. Because if we quit, we would have had to leave the country.
Yeah.
But going all in means really that we were single-mindedly focused on this.
Yeah.
So we did our job, right? We doubled up on job. The purpose, the goal was, number one, don't get fired from our jobs, right? If you get fired, you have to leave the country, right? So, and we remember, this was 1999, 2000, 2001, as we developed that 2001.
There was a
big debt.com bubble burst.
Yeah.
Happened. I was working in technology. That company I worked for was letting go of 40% of their workforce.
Wow.
They went from 7,000 people to 4,000 people in a matter of a year. And so goal number one was don't get fired. Goal number two was
put the pedal to the metal on this thing that we just found.
Yeah,
you know?
Take every minute that we possibly have outside of work and put it into this business so that the business grows to the level that when we
get time comes.
When the green card arrives, we can quit.
Yes.
Where was that ambition? Did you guys always have that much ambition? I you know, you look at people that are born in the U.S. and they don't even have that kind of drive. So
I think that we do have an unfair advantage because at least for me, coming from a third world country, raised by a single mother, you want to create, I have this deep conviction that my future is bigger and better than my past. And we want to create a future that is better than the one that we were leaving in our home countries.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, you have that going for you. Number one, number two, you have, I mean, at least for us, it's always been the case, zero fear of hard work and to putting in the reps to get mastery.
And then in our particular case, like obviously we are, United States is a place we love and it's also a neutral zone because I didn't really see myself living in Honduras.
Yeah.
Like again, and Michelle didn't see herself living in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're like, hey, this is where we are. We both love it here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the place we wanna, this is a unique opportunity to build something amazing here. Let's do whatever it freaking takes to be able to, number one, stay here from the green card point of view. And number two, build a business. But our goal for the business was not to make it a multi-million-dollar business.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal was just to replace our income initially. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it was just like the mission was put the pedal to the metal to build this to a level that we can replace or perhaps double our income. Mm-hmm. So we can have that we can quit our jobs when the green card is there and we can go have time and money and go travel. Because before my job gave me 2 weeks vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with 2 weeks vacation and Michelle stopped the same thing. Right.
Yeah.
You don't coming from other countries, you don't have enough time to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 weeks vacation, you can choose. This year, we're going to go to Honduras. Next year, we're going to go to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to see the United States? Never, right? Because you don't have enough time to do mm-hmm. that. Or you chose to see the United States and you abandon your families in the other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So we have basically made that choice that this is just an unacceptable situation for us, that we need to be, that we will not break up the relationships with our families in Europe and in Honduras. That we want it all. We want the time, we want the money, we want the relationships, we want to be able to go there. And I think those are things that fueled us.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't think we're always that ambitious. It's just that the particular situation we're in and the decisions that we made about where we are and where we want to be fueled this ambition to make the life of our dreams happen.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like you guys were always on the same vision as a couple? Is that always been there or that same?
Yes, I think we do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Jack in the beginning, you know, coming from a, you know, I'm going to say a very wealthy society. I mean, Germans and I mean, Europe in general, that it took him a second to really get, you know, put his arms around the fact that, you know, this 9-to-5 wasn't something that he was going to do for the rest of his life, that it wasn't really a true career, that it really is not what, you know, giving you the certainty that you think you have, mm-hmm. you know. And for me, coming from a third world country where there's no government to really hold anyone, you know, and prevent them from falling through the cracks, maybe I was a bit more entrepreneurial.
No, I agree 100%. Like I was totally coming, I was totally set on the career path. I wanted to go into a consulting business and then consulting company. And initially, before obviously I met this wonderful lady, my plan was to go back to Germany and I had a job lined up and all things. And I would have been like well earning management consultant or something like that over time. And in Germany, my brother, for example, in his very first job had 8.5 weeks vacation the first year. Wow. So if you like that European kind of thing, that stimmies or that kind of prevents a lot of people from going into entrepreneurship over there.
Yeah.
Because if you're pampered in the workforce and you have 8.5 weeks mm-hmm. off doing a work year, why would you ever, and you make good money, then there's no reason to go off on your own because the pain is not so much there, right?
Right.
Often what drives you into entrepreneurship is pain.
It's pain,
pain.
At least at the beginning, you know, we really act on two different, I would say, energies. You know, you either are trying to go away from pain or towards pleasure. Mm-hmm. And therefore for us, there was pain there at the beginning mm-hmm. for sure. Plus, you know, we were incredibly unfulfilled. I almost felt like we were comfortable, but miserable in those jobs. So,
I admire you guys and all that you guys are doing and working together. And it's where I think you guys are the first couple outside of Joni and I that we've interviewed that, you know, work together, have built the company together, you know, and it's really a rare thing out there.
Yeah.
And people that enjoy it together and still stayed married and all that. So what, give us some, what do you guys do to make it work? Yeah. And
well, it doesn't always work.
Let's be real.
I'm sure that's the case with you guys.
Right? In all seriousness, I think from the beginning, we both are very different. And as a result of those differences, we complement each other really well. We also have an incredible amount of respect and admiration for the things that are in our genius, you know, mm-hmm. and we allow each other to be led from, you know, there's certain situations in which Jack is going to lead me. Mm-hmm. And there's certain situations that, you know, it's my skill set and I'm going to lead. And we both have the respect towards each other to allow each other to do that and to really support each other for sure.
Yeah.
So that's been crucial.
That's one thing. The other thing is like we always have, I think every time we clash, it's because we both want to take the same role.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. there's got to be clear role separation, which doesn't automatically mean, by the way, that Michelle is doing the paperwork and I'm doing the front work, right? It actually means currently the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Michelle is currently the CEO of our company because she has this unique talent of identifying, of being a much better strategist than I am. She's much better in strategy, seeing the big picture, seeing the big vision of things. And so she's identifying the big directions the company's going for and the big important pieces we need to put in place. And I'm currently the operations manager. Now we have a VP of operations at our company, but with the VP of operations, I'm basically running the day-to-day business. So when we started, though, it was the opposite. Like when we started, Michelle ran more the detailed kind of things, and I ran more the direction. But that has shifted over time as our business growth and the demands of leadership became different on us. And it's got to be, you got to keep that ability to shift and not say like, no, I'm the big boss here. No, like that. Now it's not at all. She's the boss and I work for her. But in a marriage, we know that's true anyway, right?
I totally know what you're saying. But no, I appreciate you saying all that because it's incredible how similar we are. Because it was that way the same way. I was leading very much in the beginning, and I guess you could say the visionary. And Joni was more like operations, but then roles recently in the last 3 years have really switched. And I'm much more into the operations, and especially as the business has gone bigger. And Joni is out there, a lot of the social media, a lot of the events, a lot of the
connecting.
Connecting. Mm-hmm. And so it's amazing. Yeah, that very similar. Yeah. But yeah, she's still That's the great. Boss. Yeah, so we all know who's the real boss. So yeah, I mean.
How do you balance the work and family life? I know because you travel. I mean, you work hard and play hard as well. So how do you balance all that?
I think you said it. You work hard, play hard. Uh-huh. So we have intensive sprints of work where we do long days, long mm-hmm. things. Now we have three businesses, really. We have our land flipping business where mm-hmm. we buy these pieces of land for 10 cents or 10 to 40 cents on a dollar and wholesale them, or for 60, 70 cents on a dollar, or flip them with seller financing. We do that. We have our coaching business, which has grown tremendously, which has now 50 full-time employees in our company that we are bringing hundreds of students to success every single year. Mm. And then we also basically, because we have a portfolio of rental homes, we have a portfolio of multifamilies, we are invested in over 1,000 apartment units, and we are building up. We're basically making money over here on our land flips and all those things that we do, and we are moving that money to other areas. So we have an investment business for like multifamily, those kind of things, which is purely for asset allocation. So basically, we make the money and then we allocate it over there. So we have three businesses. So sometimes it's like we have incredible sprints of work when we implement something new in one mm-hmm. of our businesses. And then we just...
And we have no balance. We go all in.
All in. That's awesome.
And then we try to balance this off with some time off in Hawaii. We actually just purchase a condo there. I'm so excited.
Nice. And then we take a month off or so. And in that month off, we still stay connected. But then, like, for example, if we go for a month to Hawaii, or in summer, we're going to spend 2 months in Hawaii. Like, we just get up automatically kind of at 6 a.m. because of time shift. And that's 9 o'clock. That's 8 o'clock Pacific time, mm-hmm. and or 9 o'clock Pacific time. And so we work from like 6 till like 10 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Make sure everyone in our team has everything to do that they need to do. And then from 10 in the morning, we have the day off, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad
in
the month, right? Particularly as then you go to the beach, you go have your fun. And then when we come back, it goes back in. But even during the day, like, for example, I make it a point to be the person that brings our daughter to school, right? Michelle makes it a point to be the person that picks our daughter up from school.
I want to hear how was her day? Jack kind of like gets her in the right mindset for the day. I want the debrief of what happened during the day. You know, what can I help you with? What happened with friends? What do we have in terms of school and things that we need to work on?
I typically block off my calendar after 4:30 in the afternoon. There's no more meetings, right? No more meetings whatsoever. And typically until about 7 in the evening. But you know, we have a 14-year-old mm-hmm. now. 5 years ago, it looked different. She wanted to be cuddled in bed. She wanted to sit on dad's lap at night watching TV and things like that. Well, she doesn't want to do that anymore. She's still daddy's girl, but she doesn't want to do that anymore. So now she wants to be on her phone with her friends, right? So now it's 7 o'clock. She done her homework. We had dinner together, and she goes into her room to chat with her friends and things like that, or has a friend over. And I'll just, if I still need to do something, I'll go back to the office and do a little thing. But we've had several hours of quality time as a family together. Yeah. So that's how we kind of break it up during the day. So I might still, if necessary, sometimes work until 10 o'clock at night, or if we're on vacation, we don't, right? The vacation, we just 2-3 hours a day, and the rest we just take off. And so it's more like all in with a few protection for family times, and then also all out for like a month of traveling to Europe, or 2 weeks in Bora Bora, or whatever it is that we've done, even through COVID.
Yeah. That's awesome. That sounds amazing.
Do you guys do anything like strategically for your marriage to, you know, like date nights or, you know, really work on your marriage? Yeah.
That absolutely. And also because we work together, mm-hmm. Sean, we try to make it a point to check in, not as business partners before our day starts, but as husband and wife, check in with each other mm-hmm. before the day starts, and check in with each other. Once the day is wrapping up again, also not as business partners, to not bring and associate, you know, the stress of the work mm-hmm. and have that spill over into, you know, our personal or private life, I would say.
Sometimes it's like, hey, we're both in bed. Let's stop talking about business. Okay. Right. So then we just talk about something else. And then just move that to the next day. Yeah.
I love it. I'm getting some things off this interview. So thank you guys. I just want to talk a little bit about, so you've produced so many successful students. We hear about it a lot. Talk a little bit about the Land Profit Generator, what you teach, what it covers, and how you produce so many students, successful and
maybe,
students.
Maybe you can, preface that with just a little bit about land, because we've never had a land flipper on the show, and we've never really talked much about flipping just land. And so I think it's something that people overlook and probably...
It's definitely something different. You have to think different. You have to be a little bit unconventional.
So land flipping is basically like house flipping, just without the houses, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to deal with any of the complexities that come with house flipping. Now, again, you guys are big house flippers.
You guys
are dealing with like...
way more headaches.
We went on a trip to China a few years ago, and... And we went to one of these Chinese traditional things, and there's the guys with the sticks and the plates juggling on there, and they're like juggle 25 of them. And that reminds me of house flipping, because you got to juggle all these different things. Well, with land flipping, you have 23 less of these things to juggle, and you're really only juggling perhaps one, two, three different things. Right? Uh-huh. So it's much, much simpler. Yeah. So, but in essence, it's the same thing, but with a big difference, first of all, that almost nobody's doing it. So there's almost no competition. Mm-hmm. You can get much higher response rates than house flipping, and you get deals for 10 to 40 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. So typically we deal with pieces of land worth between like $5,000 and about $300,000, with a sweet spot being probably between like $10,000 and $80,000. Mm-hmm. And so you get a $50,000 deal, you often only get that thing for $10,000. And then you flip it and you turn around and wholesale it for $30,000, make a $20,000 profit in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. But the nice part is, because it's land, you don't have to go see it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to estimate repairs. You don't have to get financing for it, because we do double closings, double assignments, or if anything, sometimes use transactional funding. Mm. So you don't ever have to buy those properties. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to fix up on the property, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing to, you don't need to get private lenders and all this kind of thing. So it's basically like real estate, just without many of the complexities.
Right.
So as a result, though, and because there's less competition, you can do many more deals. So we have done over 4,500 deals already. And because it's simpler,
we focus on three types of land. We focus on infill lots, path of growth, and recreational land. Mm. And if it doesn't fit that box,
You might still take it on, but that's where 98% of the land comes from that we deal with. So if you look at that, it's a different box than house flipping. Mm-hmm. It's a simpler box than house flipping. And that the most important thing is that it's a virtual box of real estate flipping, because again, there's virtual house wholesaling and a lot of people do that, but unless you're really, really sophisticated, you still need boots on the ground to look at a property inside. You still need to see what's the condition and so on. What's the condition of the roof? And in land, you don't. So we have, for example, we have a land flipping.
We use Google Earth.
Yeah, we have a land flipper that has learned from us that does that from Spain. And it's a German guy that commutes between Mallorca, Spain, and Germany. And he's on track this year to do $4 million in net profit on land flipping.
Wow.
And he's doing this for 3 years now. And up until November of last year, he was never been in the United States ever. So he's done like 100 plus deals in the United States from Germany and Spain without even ever being in the United States. So it's true 100% virtual land flipping, because you use Google Earth and maps to see the properties. Mm-hmm. You put them on social media to sell the properties. You use title companies to close the properties. The sellers are usually somewhere completely different than the property anyways. Your property's in Texas. The seller might be in, in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And the buyer might be in Florida. And so there's no way to meet with people in the kitchen table anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's a true virtual land flipping. And that makes it scalable and easier to do for really anyone from anywhere.
Right.
So that's secret number one. Secret number two is our coaching program is designed We really looked at a bunch of coaching programs out there on how people do that. We enrolled in coaching ourselves. We're big believers of coaching. And we get disappointed all the time when we join coaching programs because they just are not designed to put people on a path to success. Mm-hmm. They're designed to teach people a bunch of stuff. But if you're in the middle of a deal and you're struggling, you don't usually get the support that you need, right there in the moment.
Human intervention.
Intervention.
Something is, I always tell Jack, you know, when something is falling apart, like my tacos, like I need help right now, they're not available. So we wanted to change that and basically looked at all the places where traditionally somebody would fall, you know, fail, mm-hmm. and put human intervention. Yeah. And that means that, you know, therefore it requires a bigger team. It's a heavy lift, to be frank. Mm-hmm. But that is something that I can be proud of, that I can with conviction say we're peerless in the industry. Mm-hmm. We're not only having an opinion of what coaching should look like, but we're actually bringing the solution to the marketplace. So that's something I can stand behind.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
And that's what makes so many people to get to success. Because, for example, our coaching students are partnered up with a full-time employee of our team. Well, we have 15 of them that are accountability partners. Mm. So basically, these guys, they check in with the coaching students 3 times a week over the first 3 months. So almost like 3 times, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or whenever it is, like they check in, hey, you got what you were taught. Are you good? Have you implemented it? What do you need? What are you struggling with? Are you being held back with something? Do you have any questions? And then they go and consult with our master coaches, who are graduates of our coaching program, are doing between 30 and 150 deals. They come back and give their time back to coach our students, and they get the answers. They get the right resources. Mm-hmm. They schedule specific calls. We have group coaching calls. I mean, we have done this incredibly big coaching program that it's not big in the sense that it's complex, but it's big in the point that mm-hmm. it's comprehensive, that really leaves no stone unturned to take every single possible failure point and turn it into an instant kind of success, where somebody can jump over that hurdle and bring it to success. And as a result, we have probably a 5 to 10x success rate of anyone else in the industry.
Yeah.
It's just wanting to lead with care and concern that mm-hmm. makes a difference, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And kind of reminds me when Sean and I got started in the business. That's my key takeaway, because having a coach and a mentor to really hold our hand and guide us to make sure that we didn't make those same mistakes that we made or they made, you know, was huge for us. And that's really what got us to where we're at today. So, yeah, I want you to talk a little bit about the mentorship, the coaching, like how important that is. I mean, we met you at a mastermind, right?
Right. It's huge. I mean, I'm currently in like 2 masterminds and 2 coaching programs. Mm-hmm. Michelle is in.
Yeah, I'm part of probably Dan Sullivan's 10X Ambition nice. Program.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
A few other, yeah. So we invest. We're like consumers of coaching. We believe in mentorship. You know, I believe that the level of success that you have right now comes as a result of past actions, past courageous choices, knowledge that you already have. But if you're going to continue pushing the boundaries of what's possible, you need to continue to elevate, you know, the people that are around you and the mentors that you have around you as well.
And what coaching really does, I think coaching is really crucial for 3 reasons. Reason number one is that it accelerates your path to success. Mm-hmm. You can figure anything out on your own, right? You can also figure out how to create the light bulb again on your own, but there's no need to create the light bulb again on your own. Mm-hmm. You all you need to do is you attend physics classes with a teacher, which is just a different word for a coach, that teaches you the basics of electricity and how a light bulb works, right? There's no more need nowadays to invent the light bulb anymore. Mm-hmm. So you go to university and you have your professor, which is again another word for coach, that teaches you exactly how to do that. So it accelerates your path to success. Mm-hmm. Number two is it collapses time. Number two, it actually also helps you, and it's equally important, it helps you avoid mistakes. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it helps you. There's so many people, I would say to our coaching students or prospective coaching students, you're going to pay for coaching either way.
Correct.
Right.
You're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Either you either make a payment to us and learn to avoid the mistakes and accelerate success, or you're going to pay it by having deals that you lose money on, by having deals that you fail, by having deals that you fall apart and you don't get them, mm-hmm. and by making a lot of expensive mistakes. And chances are that cost is going to be 10x higher than the cost of coaching.
Yeah.
Right? And the third way is that it actually shows you, it shows you what you don't even know you don't know. Right? Because oftentimes you go through life, even if you have done real estate already, you go through life thinking, hey, I'm an expert already. I know everything. But the truth is, like, even in the mastermind that we met, there's people that is like, oh my God, for entire life of having done house flips for 20 years, I've walked by land forever because I didn't even know that you could do deals with land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you don't know what you don't know is actually one of the biggest mm-hmm. things that people do. So I joined a coaching program right now recently that they're going to have a meeting in April that is all about future. It's a futurist mastermind.
Wow, that's cool.
It's a place where I'm going to be exposed to what in terms of industry mm-hmm. revolution, industry changes, technology changes,
innovation,
things like that, longevity, what's actually happening in the world that we need to be prepared for, because you don't want to be in life to be hit by something, but like the taxi drivers were hit by Uber.
Yeah. Right?
Taxi drivers were hit by Uber because they were not interested mm-hmm. in seeing what the future will bring.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to be in that position ever. We work too hard. We build up too much value. We mm-hmm. build up too much assets and things to be hit by anything in life that's going to happen that hits me, that blindsides me from the side. So I joined a coaching program, a mastermind that actually goes into that, because I don't know what I don't know about what the future, what opportunities exist, how real estate is going to develop. Are we going to go all flip virtual real estate soon? I don't know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to all flip like in the metaverse. I'm not expecting
that. Yeah, I'm sure you guys will be the first to start flipping land in the metaverse.
And it gives you access also to brilliant minds that all of a sudden, have an expertise in a specific area, and you have access to their genius now. Right. You know, all of a sudden it becomes part of, you know, who you are as well. And we've had wonderful friendships that have come along as a result of being part of, you know, other mentorship.
But also as a part of being in coaching programs, we have learned to add zeros to our land deals.
Yeah.
Like, we were happy with a $20,000 flip on a land deal, mm-hmm. but guess what? We did not know how you can turn that into a $200,000 flip.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? So that's a thing that you don't even know exists. So thanks to coaching programs, you not only, you never stay complacent. You're not just, oh yeah, I figured this out. Let me just do my lane. This is fine. But even the experts need coaches, because there's so much we don't even know.
I agree.
How do you guys stay grounded, or when you go to like maybe that futuristic, you know, mastermind and all that, not chasing
the shiny objects
or something that would distract you, but mm-hmm. how do you know which things you really should do, or is it just to improve your existing businesses and guard it, or what's your thoughts on that?
I think that when we see other opportunities out there, it's always like, you know, how does it complement with what we're already doing, and how is it going to fuel what we're already doing, or if it's a completely new venture, you know. Okay, now we're in a position where if we start any new venture, we can bring in the higher level person that is going to be the head to the horse, you know, for that mm-hmm. opportunity that we want to, you know, pursue into the future that has great opportunity or great, you know, upside and so on and so forth. Yeah. So
that thing, but I'm the, that's a great question for me because I'm the eternal squirrel looking at 100,000 other opportunities and things like that. But what it really comes down to is like, if you're that kind of shiny penny person, mm-hmm. What you really are is probably what's called a quick start. And a mm-hmm. quick start is somebody that wants to start something new all the time, is looking for variety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what we have learned is that there's one way to look for variety is by trying to do 10 different things at the same time, which leads to none of them succeeding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That what we have learned is to search for variety inside of one thing that we're doing really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm satisfying my need for variety by going to a conference like that and then seeing how can, as Michelle just said, how can we apply one thing that we learned there to what we are already doing mm-hmm. to make what we're doing even better, to make our land flipping even better, to make our coaching even better, to mm-hmm. make our large multifamily investments even better, right?
Yes.
So, but unless it is like the world's most revolutionary idea, that will change everything. In that case, perhaps, yeah, it's something to look at and really change everything you're doing, which we think land flipping is, for example, which land flipping was for us, and land flipping is for people. They they sell their companies, they switch their stuff. We have people sell their dentist practice and they go fall in on land flipping. But then within that, there's so many different things you can do that you need for variety, which is really the reason why people look for these shiny pennies, is fully met and beyond met. So there's so many different ways. I mean, land flipping does not just mean you flip land. You can split land, you can rezone land, you can develop land, you can take
subdivide,
land,
and aggregate.
You can subdivide, you can aggregate, you can do so many things with land. You can improve it a little bit, you can clear it, you can get into timber on land and get the land just for the value of the timber. You can get land for the mineral rights. There's so many different things you can do in land that you will never get bored.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I feel like we can talk for like 2 hours because you guys have so much knowledge, but I want to respect your time too. So I just want to real quick, what advice would you give an investor maybe just starting out? Maybe what path to success should they get started?
What I just said is look around, like smell a bunch of flowers, but then ask yourself every single time, based on the lifestyle that you want to live, based on the time, how many hours a week you want to work, based on where do you want to work, how do you want to work, how if you love traveling, then fix and flip might or might not be the right answer, right? Because I mean, unless you right away build a big team. So ask yourself what you really want, what you enjoy. And then look for businesses that check those boxes. And then once you find your favorite one, put the blinders on and do what it freaking takes to succeed there. Because there's a growth curve in everything. There's a, what we call it, I hope it's not necessarily entirely PG, but between everything to get everything to mastery, there's always a period in there where it's not all flowers and roses. Mm-hmm. It's what one lady wrote in a book. She called it the shit sandwich. Mm-hmm. So basically, between everything, it's just, you got to look at that and you got to see, is that S sandwich, is that the one, am I willing to eat that one to get to the other side, right?
I think I've ate a couple of them already, so along the way. I'm a slow learner, so I keep going back, but.
Keep going back for more. Yeah.
We all have eaten them, but the question is, do you want to eat the big one or you want to eat the small one to get the same result, right? Yeah. So you want to look at those things. But once you found it, it's like, this is what it is. You know there's going to be hurdles. Know there's going to be a learning curve. Know there's going to be some things. Know that you'll need a coach. But then go for it, stick with it, and make it happen. And then you'll come out victorious at the other side.
Love that.
Yeah. So we always ask our guests, what's your guys' next? So Dan Sullivan,
it was David Phelps.
Yeah, wrote next. Yeah, it was Phelps. Yeah. So what's your guys' next? What are you, goals, anything coming up, anything exciting?
Well, we're building right now, like Jack said, we use our land flipping as our cash machine. That's kind of like the gateway asset to produce cash profits that we then allocate into other asset classes. So we are really going, embedding, on multifamily, even to this day. I mean, because there is, double digit inflation, we're doubling down on real estate for sure.
We don't teach that. We will never teach this. This is not something we do.
Yeah, we'll never teach multifamily.
It's something we do just to put our own money in place. And you know, we syndicate and allow for our students who want to invest with us too, because they had such a great experience in the first place. But yeah, that's one thing that's our next. But the reason behind the next is that I'm 51, Michelle is a young puppy. And
6 years younger than
45. So we're just looking at the next 5 to 10 years of just taking jump chips off the table and just moving it into just lifetime cash flow assets. Yeah,
we're in that season of life already where we're looking at that.
We're a daughter 4 years from now. She's out of school. She's in her college. We're going to be empty nesters. And at that point of time, we are truly not bound to a location anymore. And at that point of time, we are just, that's why we bought a condo in Hawaii right now. So our next is, is like go full out for the next 5 to 7 years, probably still go full out, and then probably slow things down at that point of time. And
well, Jack will be slowing down.
Yeah,
yeah, my prime, because I'm 6 years younger.
But going out from a point of view that we'll probably spend 3-4 months a year in Hawaii, yeah, a couple of months in Europe, and the rest of the time here in Phoenix, and still always going to do land flips, always going to do business, but just in a different season of life. That's our next.
That's awesome.
That's great. Any current? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say another next for me, which I think I have started over the last couple of years, but I can see this growing, is I want to see many more women investing in real estate.
Yes.
You know, I have been in so many of these masterminds, mm-hmm. Johnny, where perhaps you have been one of just a few ladies inside of that room. I would love to see many more women. Money is not new to us. It's just making money work for us that is new to us. And I want to see many more ladies have that experience and have that freedom and be able to create, you know, that level of wealth. There's this incredibly disturbing statistic, you know, between, man's net worth and ladies' net worth. And I want to bridge that gap, and mm-hmm. I want to be instrumental in being part of that. And just seeing many, many more women, you know, investing in real estate, wealthy, owning the power that, you know, that comes with, especially for us. I mean, we have like Jack said, we have a daughter, and I don't want her to start in terms of capability and confidence and courage at the level where I started investing. You know, I want her to stand on my shoulders, and I want other women to stand on my shoulders as well. So
that's awesome.
That's a big next for me for sure.
That's great. 100% agree with you on that. That's awesome.
Joni, it's a big passion mm-hmm. of hers as well, and including fitness into that as well. But and her book, that's what the purpose behind it. But yeah, she's in the same boat. She talks about it all the time. She ends up on all these panels at different real estate events and all that, and she's the only woman usually on all of these. And so definitely
get out there and just do it.
Any current books you guys could recommend?
You're actually reading I'm reading, can you bring that one over there?
Yes, that's a
this
great
is
book.
One of my mentors. I'm reading Conviction Marketing.
Yeah.
How basically, in terms of marketing, how important it is to not forget that even though automation is sexy and that it has a place, that there's some timeless business principles of human touch, of human connection, of expressing what your deepest convictions are, what you stand for in the marketplace, that will make you really differentiate you in the marketplace when you're dealing with sellers, when you're dealing with buyers. That those things do matter, because at the end of the day, people are doing business with other people, not just with a company.
Absolutely. So, that's we've done that in our property mm-hmm. management business with hiring CSRs, because, I mean, so many management companies are trying to automate everything. And we implemented what we put in CSRs that just, they do proactive communication with the owners. And but it's that outbound touch and that, you know, getting to know the owners and their kids and having those monthly calls with them, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it does.
Which an email, automated email, is just not going to mm-hmm. do.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Conviction Marketing. Okay, we'll have to read that
Conviction
one.
Conviction Marketing by Kelly Roach. Great, great lady, and great book and great strategist. The other one is what I'm going to read. I'm reading right now kind of in two different directions, but both around that kind of, I know we currently live through the largest industrial revolution that the world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't even know we are in it. So, and that's why I'm like very, very interested in like what's changing. But in parallel, I'm also interested in what is not changing. Mm. And if they like Jeff Bezos, said one time, I watched a little video from him, says like, everyone is asking about what's the next thing and what's coming new, what's mm-hmm. changing. The secret to his success is that he actually asked the question, what is not changing?
Mm.
And what's not changing is that people want to buy stuff and they want to have it delivered to their house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not changing. And he built the entire customer service. So he built the entire Amazon on that premises.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, though, there's a lot of things changing. So I'm reading one book is the collection writings of, it's called Invent and Wonder, the collective writings of Jeff Bezos. Now also the other one I'm reading is a book called Rethinking Humanity, which is a futurist kind of book about the guy that's kind of like predicting what's kind of happening in the world right now with electric cars and solar and things like that, and how an automation and AI and all those kind of things, and how that literally will change the jobs that everyone has in the next 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's accelerating at a rate that that if you guys listening to this out there think that your job is safe, think again. There's no such thing like a safe job anymore.
Yeah.
So we preach that to our coaching students. That's why the only thing you can, you should do, the number one thing is you should do is you should educate yourself how you can live life on your own terms, how you can create your own economy, how you can be in charge of your own financial well-being, because the world is changing at such a rapid pace that just look at the taxi drivers again that didn't see Uber coming.
Right.
That's just one example, and it happens currently in every single industry in the world, and most people don't even see it coming.
Yeah.
So it we live in bizarre times and crazy times, and so how can people get a hold of you? How can people work with you guys? And you guys are on the front end of a lot of things, so I'm sure people would love to hear
connect
more
with you.
Yeah, and hear more about your, I know you guys got podcasts, everything. You guys got it all.
Yeah, so we're both on social, but if you want to go to Land Profit Fun, because at the end of the day, if you're going to be working this hard, it better be fun. So you go to landprofitfun.com.
So fun with F-U-N.
I love it.
Like having fun.
Love it.
Yeah. One place you can go. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, different thing. You just go to look for Land Profit Generator or Jack Bosch or Michelle Bosch. You find us there. We also, each of us have our own podcast. Michelle, my podcast is called currently the Forever Cash Real Estate Investment Podcast, because at the end of the day, it's all about building cash flow that lasts forever. And Michelle?
For me, it's Inflow. And it's basically, it's about inflows of cash, but also inflows of ease, inflows of grace, you know, especially as a lady investing in real estate.
Yes.
I love not just talking about the dimension of the cash and the money, but really everything, because we bring our entire selves to whatever it is that we do.
So, awesome.
That's great.
We'll put all that in the show notes.
Plus for me, I mean, my grounding in faith and in grace, I know that a lot of the things that we have accomplished have been the result of hard work, but many, many others have been the result of just grace interceding and stepping in and always being, ahead of us and ahead of my decisions, or along with me and my decisions, accompanying me every single step of the way. So I bring a little bit of that as well into the podcast. So it's a little different flavor than Jack's, but nevertheless, you're going to learn how to make money too.
You're right. Yeah. That's exactly right. I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us here today. Our listeners, I think, are going to get a ton of value off this. So I really, really appreciate you guys.
And anything we never do for you guys, please let us know.
Yes.
Appreciate
you very much. The same here, guys.
Thank you.
Have a fantastic day.
All right.
You too.
All right. Well, if you'd like that, if you enjoyed it, please like it, share it. Please follow Jack and Michelle Bosch. They got so much good things going on. I subscribe to both of their podcasts. Love them. So please reach out to them and follow them. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.